Okay, the song this morning that we're going to sing is a really simple one, but it's really powerful. And so the words this morning are going to be up on the screen, and just invite you to sing along as you feel led.
Father God, we dedicate these offerings, our tithes and our offerings. And we thank you that we can have your Son. When we ask with penitent hearts. And that he guarantees us not only life eternal with you, but a glimpse of heaven here on this earth above the pain and trouble. So, Father, we offer to you a portion of all that you've blessed us with. But what we're mindful of is that you don't want our money. You want our hearts. That's what we give you today. And we pray by the blood of the perfect Lamb that was slain that we would be the offering. In his name we pray. Would the young people come and join me? It's so good to see everybody.
It's good to see Joshy and the Chuck.
Good to see Joshy.
And it's Chuck.
You see Joshy all the time.
And I don't see Chuck all the time.
You don't? I want to show you something here. You're going to have to come up here so you can see it, though. Okay, everybody kind of gather around, all right?
I have millions of them at home.
I am glad. I am glad. A million. Okay, come and look. You have to get close. Daniel, you have to get close, Daniel. Okay. All right, do you see what I have here? I have... It's hard to make you laugh. Oh, my goodness. Well, you see what I have here in my hand? I have a bunch of pennies, don't I? And I have a bunch of... I saw that. I saw she didn't think anybody would see her sneak that tickle in. Okay, you see I have a bunch of pennies here. I have a whole bunch of shiny pennies, right? But then I have a penny that's kind of old and dirty, don't I? Now, you know, if I asked all of you to pick a penny, probably what most of you would pick would be this shiny penny, okay? You would all pick shiny ones, and probably the only person who would take the last penny, the last yucky penny, would be the when it would be the last one left, and nobody would want that penny.
I should eat that.
You know, and that's, well, that's, he might eat it, yes, he might. That's what I wanted to talk to you about is when we pick all these other ones and leave this one out, that means that we are rejecting this penny. That's what rejecting means, is to be left out. Oops!
I'll get that penny.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, that's what rejection means, is to be left out, okay? And today in the reading that I read from the Gospel of Mark, Mark is talking about Jesus being rejected, okay? And that means Jesus being left out, okay? And what I wanted to talk to you about, that's okay, he can have that, all right? And what I wanted to talk to you about is that sometimes we are all rejected. Have any of you ever been rejected, like maybe picked last at school? Or it's kind of, how did that make you feel? It doesn't make you feel, it's kind of yucky, isn't it, being rejected? Yeah, it's kind of yucky, but you know what I wanted to talk to you about today is that God will never, ever reject us. That when we come to the Lord, he will never, ever reject us. And I want you to remember that it doesn't matter whether we're like a shiny penny or whether we're like a dirty old beat-up penny, God will never, ever reject us. Okay, so let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank you so much that no matter what in life, that we will never, ever be rejected by you. And sometimes in life that happens, and we pray that you would help us to know always that we can come to you and you will always receive us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, off you go. Right next to Mr. Fish there, the goodies, and Miss Holly, we have junior church today.
The baby comes up here first. Baby.
Thank you.
In sled dog racing, they have a saying, if you aren't the lead dog, the scenery never changes. In other words, only the lead dog gets to see what's up ahead. And only the lead dog gets to choose a new path. And we live in a culture where all of us want to be lead dogs. Now, as the 2012 presidential race starts heating up, oh boy, every candidate, Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal, has begun to say the same thing. And that is that we in America need to recover something that we have lost. And one of the biggest messages is that we in America need to return to our leadership position in the world, whether it be in manufacturing or technology or production, influence or economic growth. No matter what we're talking about, our mindset is on being in the lead position. You know, our mindset is that being in the lead position is the most important thing. We all want to be large and in charge, and we all want to be big man on campus. And who doesn't want to be in control? And who doesn't want to choose our own path? And who doesn't want to decide for oneself? And that's all fine and good for a benevolent Christian country or an innovative corporation. But the problem for Christians is that Jesus really has a different opinion of getting our own way as individuals. You see, God doesn't want us to get our own way. He wants us to get His way. Now, Jesus had a pretty aggressive response for a what I want when I want it attitude. And that was, get behind me, Satan. You see, whenever we try to argue with God, whenever we try to get our own way instead of God's way, we open the door for Satan's lies. Now, this passage in Mark is the first of three times where Jesus is going to inform the disciples about what's going to lay ahead. And he's very plain. Three times is the first. But you see, they knew that if there was a cross in Jesus' future, because they had chosen to follow him, that there was going to be a cross in their future as well. And they weren't necessarily comfortable with that. Even though the disciples had spent all that time with Jesus, they wanted their world according to Satan's philosophy, and that is glory without suffering, instead of God's philosophy, suffering changed into glory. You see, they just didn't understand the connection between the cross and a crown. They just didn't get that. Now, if you were at last Wednesday's Lenten service, there weren't a lot of folks there, but if you were there, Pastor Eckroth, I was surprised to see he had spent some time on this passage this week. When Jesus rebuked Peter, he used the same word that is used for demonic exorcisms. And we don't really think of that as being particularly groundbreaking, you know, I mean, or you know, we're not particularly moved by that. I mean, after all, Peter and the other disciples, because Jesus obviously had looked at the other disciples, and they must have all been in agreement and put Peter up to this, you know, and they were all obviously mistaking. Okay, we get that. And then they had the audacity to try and tell Jesus that he was wrong. Okay, they really messed up. So Jesus rebuked Peter. Big deal. But it's totally another thing to have those words of Jesus directed at us, reminding 21st century enlightened followers that none of us are spiritual lead dogs, and that none of us spiritually should be large and in charge. You know, there's a required course in seminary, and it's entitled Leading with a Follower's Heart. And the Apostle Paul put it a different way. Follow me as I follow Christ. Now, I've told this story to some of you before, but it's pertinent. And that is that when the kids were young and they would ride in the car with me, they would always want to put their music on the radio. You know, and even though I wanted to be the cool mom, you know, I'm sorry. It just wasn't happening. You know. I wanted to listen to classical music. I'm a classical music person. They complained. They want to know how come I am the one, I always got, you know, to pick my own music. And I used to say, because I am the captain of this ship. I am the captain of this ship. Now, when they began to drive, and when I would be riding with them, they would still want to listen to their own music. Wasn't happening. We were going to listen to classical music, and they'd say, hey, I am the captain of this ship. And I would say, yes, but I am the admiral of this navy. You see, today's message reminds us that Jesus is the admiral of our navy. Jesus' disciples are reminded in today's passage who is the boss. And we are reminded that we need to remember our place. And our place is behind Jesus. We need to get behind Jesus, our leader. Even after 21 centuries of trying, we find that really hard to do. It is very, very difficult for us to get behind Jesus and follow him. We value independence, and that's good. But we glorify lone wolves, even though as Christians there are none. Spiritually, we are to be connected and in step behind the one who died for us, Jesus Christ. Now, sure, we may be willing to take up our cross. There's no shortage of people who want to do good things. But we still want to be the ones to decide how to do that. We want to decide how and what cross we are going to pick up. Even in matters of taking up our cross, we want to take the lead. Now, before we go any further, I want to make sure that we understand what taking up our cross means. It does not mean reaping what we sow. If we have made some bad decisions in our lives, and we are facing the repercussions of those bad decisions, that is not taking up our cross. That's reaping what we've sown. Taking up our cross is played out in sacrificial living, selfless service, seeking the face of God. Now, just before our lesson this morning, Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. This is a big deal. You know, he recognized who Jesus was. And then his first response to this newly identified Messiah was that he was going to tell him what he could and could not do. In other words, Peter tried to lead Jesus in the direction Peter thought Jesus should go, rather than follow Jesus where Jesus wanted to go. Now, Jesus was telling the disciples how his life was going to play out. And it was so completely unexpected. It was such a radical turn of events that Peter just decided that Jesus was wrong. He just couldn't get his mind around it. The Christ, the chosen one of God, the beloved Son, the incarnation of God himself, God with us, was wrong as far as Peter was concerned. Peter put himself and all of these preconceived ideas he had about the Messiah in the driver's seat, and he threw Jesus into the back. Told him he was wrong. Peter wants to be in control. Peter wanted to be in control of his life. Peter wanted to be in control of the way he thought things should go. He wanted to be in control of God's plan for his life and for Jesus's. No wonder Jesus didn't mince any words. Get behind me, Satan. You know, Jesus' in-your-face response to Peter makes a pretty dramatic point, and here's the dramatic point. If you try to tell God how to be God in your life, you will die. You will lose your life if you are the one who is trying to save it. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? It's only in following. It's only in letting Jesus lead that we are saved. Yet there isn't anything that bugs us more than being told what to do. And yet that's exactly what God wants to do. He wants to tell us what to do. And it's hard for us to come to a place where we're okay with that. The message that Jesus has for us is know your place. And that phrase in the world in which we live, we use that phrase to demean people, don't we? Know your place. You know, we use that to demean people. That's a phrase that the world sometimes uses to even relegate people to second-class citizens. But what I want to do is just get you to think about it in a little bit different way. Do you think that second-class citizens would be the first ones to be sent out into the world for an all-out spiritual war on sin, evil, and death? Would that be a second-class citizen's job? It's our job. Do you think that second-class citizens could live lives of trust and faith in spite of being ridiculed, rejected, judged, and sometimes condemned to death? That's what we're called to do. Do you think that second-class citizens would be called to do battle with the enemy who is alive and well in the world in which we live and to live in resurrection power? Is that a second-class citizen's job? That's what we're called to do. Do you think that second-class citizens would be called to speak the truth into a world that calls evil good and good evil? That's what we're called to do. Do you think second-class citizens would be guaranteed a place in the heavenly Jerusalem, singing praise to God the Father for eternity? That's what we're called to do. Do you think second-class citizens would be called to be united mind and spirit with the God of the universe through His only begotten Son? That's who we're called to be. Do you think second-class citizens would be saved from sin, called to minister, be commissioned to go out into all the world in Jesus' name? That's what we're called to do. That's the place that Jesus asks His disciples to occupy until He comes. That's the place that Jesus has called all of us to occupy until He comes. Do you know your place? Then fall in. Fall in behind Him. You'll be guided by grace. You will be strengthened by fearlessness. You will reflect the beauty of Jesus. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Johann Sebastian Bach, do you know that he had 20 children? A busy guy, both in the music and in other places. Yet he wrote his Christmas oratorio, okay? He wrote that, and he dedicated it to the most beautiful of human beings. He wasn't talking about any of his kids, and he wasn't talking about his wife. He was talking about Jesus. Why would we not want to share that with everyone? Why would we not want to share and show the beauty of Christ to everyone? Why would we want to be the ones to call the shots? Is it because we've done such a really, really good job with our lives? Is that why? Why would we want to hide the beauty of Christ under a basket, as the old song says? Why would we want to silence the music? You know, the more we find our place behind Him, the more comfortable we become in that place, the more we will shine with that beauty. And when we know our place, and when we get behind Jesus, the view's pretty spectacular. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, You are not surprised by our attitude and our perspective on life. And You know that we like to be large and in charge. And then we're so surprised when everything falls apart. Forgive us, Father. Draw us back. Help us to take our place behind Jesus. For we pray it in His name. Amen.